Chapter 1. Culchi Hurlin. Dunkade was the best place in the world. A small fishing village nestled in the cliffs of southern Wexford. The cove was dominated by Duggan's Tower, a lighthouse named for the Welsh priest who'd hammered Christianity into the locals. Tourism was not encouraged, and the privileged group of annual visitors was sworn to secrecy. It wasn't everywhere that leaning over a quay wall spitting after the tide was considered an honourable pastime. Nobody wanted to jeopardise that. Benny was one of the lucky few, because his grandad was a lighthouse keeper. His family were accepted as legitimate guests by the clannish villagers. The Dunkade boys had put together a couple of hurling teams. Not full size or anything, just 8-on-8. Or, more accurately, 8 boys on 6 boys, a girl and a dog. They came up to the lighthouse looking for Benny, seeing as he spent every daylight hour bashing a ball against the gable end. "Okie dokie," said Benny, with a big, innocent look on his face. After all, how good could these farmer boyos be? Probably spent most of their time running drills with cows and sheep. "Don't worry, Ma, I'll go easy on them," he roared up the lighthouse's spiral staircase. His mother muttered in response, too immersed in the day's artistic endeavour to waste any words on her eldest son. Jessica Shaw was a drama teacher with a real passion for her subject. Her current obsession was poetry. She spent hours in the light room thinking of fancy words for sea and clouds. "I mean, poetry, for God's sake," fumed Benny. "Cat, bat and mat. What was the point of it? If you want to look at the sea, go over to the window and have a look. If you want to describe it, buy a camera. All this sorrowful waves and angry clouds bit was for people who were useless at hurling and therefore had meaningless lives. Like, for instance, his little brother George, a.k.a. the Crawler. He was his mother's boy, all right. Sitting out on the rocks communing with nature. Benny threatened to let his boot commune with George's backside if he had to listen to any more poems. His latest act was poetic sentences. Whatever the little eejit said had to rhyme, and he refused to answer at all until he thought of a good one. "George, come in for your tea."
"I can't wait for my plate."
"Shut up with all that poetry stuff, will ye?"
"I must rhyme all the time."
"I'm warning you. You see that fist?
If pain I feel, I will squeal. Enough to drive a person mental.
At least you could be certain there'd be no sign of the little pest at the hurling match."
Georgie considered sport in general to be the pastime of savages.
"He who hurls is a churl."
Benny wasn't sure what a churl was, but one day he'd find out, and then, Crawler beware. The Dunkaders were sitting on a famine wall, chewing hay and kicking cowpats, among other wooler occupations. Benny flattened his cowlick and ambled over, nonchalantly hopping a slither on his hurley.
"How's she cutting there, men?" he said, using the vernacular. "Shaw boy, that's a nice stick you have there."
"Sure, it's a grand bit of wood," said Benny, really laying on the accent. A big, massive barn of a chap stood up. Benny swallowed. He'd thought the fella was already standing. "Holy God, Pody, you're after sprouting."
Pody was only 14, a year older than Benny himself, and already the size of a round tower.
"Must be all them bales of hay you're throwing around."
"S'pose."
Pody hefted a hurley the length of a telephone pole. Jagged nails poked out of the rusty bands at its base. There was a dark stain on it that looked suspiciously like blood.
"I'm on your team, am I?" said Benny.
"S'pose."
Benny swallowed a relieved sigh.
"Good stuff. Are we right then or what?"
He climbed over a steel gate.